Hello everyone, welcome to Daily Mishnayos Shir, learning Maseches Bava Kamma. We're holding in the last parak. We're at the Shem, we're actually going to finish today. First, we're going to chaz over the Mishnayos we did last time. We started with Parak Yud Mishnah Dalet. Zeba b'chavisa shel yain. One person is coming with his barrel of wine. Zeba b'kada shel devash, and the other one has a jug of honey. Nisika chavis shel devash. The jug of honey got broken. V'shavach zeh esiyen v'hitzel shel devash l'socho. The other guy threw out his wine very selflessly and save the other person's honey into his vessel. Ein lo el schar. Only have to pay him the schar, meaning the use of the vessel and the effort put in. Im amar atzil shalach vatanos meshali, he says, I'll save yours, but you'll pay me for mine. Chayvli tenlo, then he stipulated you would have to pay him for that. Shatav nar chamoro vechamar chavero. This case is a little different, as Rav points out. This is happening passively. The person is not throwing away his item, but the river is overflowing and it's going to sweep away his donkey and his friend's donkey. His being worth 100 mana and is 100 zuz and his friend's 200. He left his own donkey selflessly to be swept away and he saved his friend. Again, you'll have to pay schar. But again, if he stipulated, I'll save yours, that you'll pay me back, and then he would have to give it to him. Mishnah Hayes told us, Agozel Sodom Echavero Natu Amesikin, one who stole a field from his friend. Fields can't really be stolen, but he somehow laid a claim to it and was, squatting on the field. But then Mesikin, our thieves that were empowered by the kingdom, came and took it. In Makas Medina, if it's happening to everybody, Makas Medina, right, that means a hit on the whole place. So Omer Shachalafanecha, it says it's yours. Nothing about my initial thievery caused it to get stolen. It would have gotten stolen anyway. Right, but if it's because of his thievery that they went after what this Goslin stole Dafka, then you have to give him a new field. The river overflowed someone's field, and even had been stolen previously, just like our case, but now the river overflowed it. It says that's also yours. The river would have flooded it in any event. One who stole from his friend or borrowed from his friend, or his friend deposited him something. A yishuv, it all happened in the civilized area. Lo yachzur lo b'mibor. He can't return the stolen item or the loan or the item that was deposited in the desert, in the wilderness. Amnas l'tzeis b'mibor. If the case was that he went out, he knew it would be returned to him in the midbar. The Rav elaborated, and he said, here, take this. I have to go out to the midbar. And he says back, I'm also going there. So it was understood he would be there. Yachzur lo b'mibor. Then he could give it back to him in the desert. Okay, now we'll finish out the sechta. Mirtz Hashem, Mishnah Zayim. One who says to his friend, I stole from you, or you loaned to me, or you deposited an item to me by me to be watched. I don't know if I gave it back to you, or if I did not give it back to you, one has to pay in that case. But if he said to him, I don't know if I stole from you, or if I borrowed from you, if Gata Etzli, or if he gave him a pikadon, potentially Shalmi does not have to pay. Says the Rav to elaborate. The first case, Amad Chaver Gezalticha v'chulei. Ukigdon, for example, Shechaver To'ano Bari Gezaltani. The friend must be saying back, you certainly stole from me, right? He's saying, I stole from you, right? And the friend, well, it really goes, the Rav sets it up the other way. First, the friend says, you stole from me. So who Omer Emes? He says, that is true. Gizalticha, I did steal from you. Avo eni yodei mechzarti lach. But I don't remember if I gave it back to you. Maybe I gave it back to you. Chayv l'sham, he has to pay. In that case, the recipient, the victim, is certainly that he was a victim or that he's owed an item or a loan. And the other person being sure also already makes the chiyuv. Everybody's agreeing that the chiyuv was there. And him being besafik, if he paid or not, it's not enough to get him off the hook. Avo im chaver toin shema gizaltani. If the first supposed victim doesn't know if he's a victim. He says, perhaps you stole from me. Oh, VC, or I loaned to you. But Omer MS Gazaltiha, he says, no, you're right. Your suspicion is correct. I did indeed steal from you. Oh, Visani, or you lent to me. Any of them is I to look. I don't know if I give it back to you. This is very, very interesting that because the Tovea, the one claiming that he stole from me, is not certain in his claim. So this person now is Potter, even though he is certain in the thievery, but he is Mesubak about if he paid back. It's enough. His suffix, his question about if he paid back, combined with the potential victim's question if he, in fact, was stolen from, is enough to pater him midine adam, pater him from judgment in the amongst men in this world. If he wants to be yoked to the Yishamayim to pay, even though he doesn't have to be, Yishamayim, then he would pay him. The Rav points to that because there's not always an Indian to be yoked to the Yishamayim. It depends on a few factors. So here there is an Indian because he anyways holds that he stole, and it's not sure if he paid back, it'd be Yotze Yedei Shemayim. Any of them is al ticha v'chulei, patim l'shabbat. If the case was that he says, I don't know if I stole from you, right? And he said, the guy says that, seemingly the guy also doesn't know, right? So then he'd be putter from paying. He would have to swear, though, that he is not chayiv, right? Because he doesn't know if he stole or not. This shema case of maybe I stole from you is no better than the case of I certainly didn't, of bari for sure. If he would have said, I don't have anything of yours in my hands, totally denied it, there's a din of a shuvah seses, a shuvah derabanan, and you have to take someone who's kofar a kol, someone who denies entirely a claim against him, has to still swear that he owes nothing. So this case where he's in suffix about it, and the Mishnah is telling us he's putter, he would still have to swear. It'd be no better than that case. Says Mishnah Ches, Agonif Tale mina eder v'achzira, one who steals a sheep from the pen and gave it back. He gave it back. Umeis or nignav, and afterwards the sheep died or was stolen. Chayev v'achiru, so he is chayev to pay for it, even though he gave it back. The Rav is going to have a lot of elaboration from the Gemara what's going on in these cases. That's the first statement. The Mishnah continues, lo yodu ha'bailim lo b'ginivaso v'achziraso. The owners did not know about the thievery, nor that it was returned. Lemano esetzon ushlemihi. They then counted the flock, and it's shalem. It is complete. All the sheep are accounted for. Butter, he's butter. So what's going on? Because that case, if he didn't know about the thievery or going back, why is he counting? And why does the fact of the counting matter? So Rob's going to tell us like this. Chayev b'achriyusa. If he stole a sheep from the flock, yeah. From the pen, and he gave it back, and it died or was stolen. He's chayav and it's chayav. And the chid ganva, once he stole it, from when he stole it, kim le birshusei. The sheep now is in his domain. Behashava da'ava lava shavahi. His returning that he did is not a good returning. We're going to see that over here, he didn't know about it being returned back. The owner did not know about a return back, which is not a good returning to have done, and therefore it remains in the reshus of the thief. But the Rav again will elaborate more on this right now. The mission is explained as follows. Chayev v'achiru, so the first case is chayev, bein manu, bein lo manu. Whether or not he counted, whether or not the Baal Bayis counted the flock, right, he counted it. Even so, the geneva that was done made the thief chayev. Emosai, but when is that? If the owners did not know about the original thievery, nor it coming back. But if the Bailam knew that it was stolen, and then they counted its own, and they found it to be shalim, to be complete, potter min l'shalim, then they're potter. So that helped the Rav, already helped us out, that what's going on in the Reisha. The Reisha is where he doesn't know about it. That's why it's a chiyuv. And the Seifa, he knows about it. That's why he was counting. So if it comes out shalim, potter. That's a basic explanation of the Mishnah in the words of it. Now the Rav goes further by giving a peirush. V'achi peirusha. Here is the explanation. Meis o nignav hatle. The sheep was died or was stolen. V'achi shechzir aganav. After the thief brought it back. Chayv v'achi yosu. You're chayv. Bein shemono abaylim atzon v'hishleima. Bein shlomono atzon. Whether or not the owners counted the sheep and it was complete or they didn't count them. Emosai. When is that? B'zman shel yodo abaylim v'gineivas hatle. Again, that the owners did not know about the thievery of the sheep. Any sheep that is now used to leaving, which this sheep now is because he was stolen once, he now understands the idea of leaving the pen. The owner is going to have to be more careful with that sheep that it shouldn't leave. And this one, the thief, being that he didn't know this one meaning the sheep, that particular sheep, being that the owner did not know of its being stolen, they didn't know that it was now learnt in going out, learnt in leaving, and therefore they weren't extra careful as they should have been. Now the Ganav is going to have to pay. It was his cause that son got lost, or stolen or died. At least in the case of stolen. It doesn't explain the death case. Maybe we'll see. Maybe the Rav will tell us about that. Perhaps the way it died was also through leaving or getting out in some way. Right? Or from something, or making a kind of it died from something that we can blame on where it was. I believe the Gemara goes through that. He must have taken it to a place with bad air, something like that. But the Rav doesn't tell us about the case. If the owners knew it was stolen, then they counted the flock and it was complete. They see, hey, it was brought back. They at that point know because the thief who has known about it and they see it's back, they know that that sheep is now used to leaving. So they should have been more careful with it. If they're not careful with it, then they lost out on themselves. And the thief is going to be putter from pay. Yeah, that's got to be a pshat. I was saying before, in the case of nace, there's also got to be something that you blame on the sheep going out. Must have gone to a place where it got sick, something like that. Says mission test. This is going to be cases where we don't take certain items from people because we're worried that it might be stolen. So you don't take from shepherds wool or milk, or you don't buy kids from them, small goats, because it all could really belong to the owners. The shepherds don't own the animals or these items that come off of them, right? Maybe it's owned by the original owner. It might be stolen. You're not going to steal from those who guard fruits any wood or fruits. Also, same chashash. You could take from women the kalim with which they deal with wool in the area of Yehuda. That's what they would do there. What you used to deal with linen in the Galil, in the Galilee. You take kids, meaning, lambs, right, in Sharon, which is also an area of Eretz Yisrael. You could take over there. We'll see from the Rav that why this is different. The Kulin Sha'amru, if anyone said, Lahatmin, I'm selling this item, but hide it, Usur. That's Usur, clearly that shows that it's likely they want you to hide where it came from, could be stolen. L'lochim beitzim v'tanagolim mikol makom. You can always buy chickens and eggs and chickens from anywhere. So says the Rav, Ein lochim in aroim, why can't you take from shepherds these things? The ikla meimar shema gonvu. Maybe they stole it from the flock of the Baal Bayis, and Masa Lehem, that was handed over to them, that they were watching. Melechas Na'anoshim Hi is the work of women, these things, of dealing with wool in Yehuda and dealing with Pishtan in the Galil. Yeah, they themselves make the item, they treat the wool or the Pishtan, and they sell it. Well, that's Baalim Hi, and it's all with the knowledge of their husband knows about it. Right? So over here, if they sell it to you, or their husband sells it to you, but over here, the mission case is the woman herself sold it, so it's fine. Nothing is stolen. V'agolim haroim v'sharon, also you can buy from them lambs that are grazing in the Sharon. Shem makom, that's the name of a place, shemigalim bo'agolim, that they grow lambs. V'shalahen hain, so over there, it belongs to those women that are raising them. Right? So it's also a case where you can take it from them. And the last case the Rav doesn't elaborate on, but Lahatmin, right, obviously if they told you, hide this, so it's very worrisome, very suggestive that they stole it. But the last case here, the eggs and the chickens, Nistama also, if someone would tell you, you know, chickens and eggs are generally safe, but to make sure to hide these, you should probably also not take it from them, because it's suggestive that it's stolen. That's what the Rambam says there. Says Mishnah Yud, last Mishnah and the Masechta. Mochin Shakoves Motzi. Pieces of wool, yeah, that a Koves is a launderer, that he pulls out through his laundering system, through his laundering process, he ends up with some wool. So Hara'il Shiloh, he gets to keep those pieces. The Baal Bayis is in Makbet on that. V'shasorik motzi, but if you're combing wool, yeah, or flax, or whatever it be, combing takes out larger chunks. Hara'il Shabaal Bayis, those you have to give back to Baal Bayis. Hakoveis notzo shlosha chutin v'hein shiloh, apparently it was the way that they used to weave clothing, they would leave over three threads at the end of a different species other than what was being woven. Could be cotton or something like that, let's say, to avoid kalim, something there. Those three, if the koves, if the launderer takes those out, he can keep them. And he takes them out because he wants to make that part of the beged look nice. So he takes these out there of a different minute, makes it look nice. So that those three he can keep, that's considered small. Yasser Mikain, any more threads, though, are Elish Baal Bayis. Anything else he would take out, he has to give back to Baal Bayis. If it was black threads that are on top of a white bag, you take all of them out and keep them. Obviously, it didn't look good. He was fixing it up, and he gets to keep those threads. Hachayat, a tailor, shashir minachut, the leftover of thread, he had thread on his needle, kidei litzbobo, enough for a stitch. Enough to stitch with it means the amount that is a needle's worth. Umatu shir sholosh sholosh, or he has left over a piece of fabric that is 3x3 finger breadths. Our Elisha Baal Bayis, those also go to the Baal Bayis. Those are considered a larger amount, a chashiv amount of items. Masha Charish Motzi B'Ma'asa, that which the carpenter takes out with a ma'asa, which is either a sander or a plane, probably a plane. Our Elisha Lo, those he can keep. small pieces of wood come out when you use that tool. With a kashil, but if he uses a larger tool, which is some sort of spade or shovel or a more like knife type thing, it's going to cut more into the wood and take out larger pieces. Shabal bias, that will go to the baal bias. Vimai osa itzel baal bias, if he is anyway working by the baal bias in his property, in his home, af on nesores shabal bias, and even the nesores, which is small shavings of wood, belong to baal bias. You're in his home, you don't get to keep anything from there. Says the Rav. Back to the beginning of the parish of this Mishnah. Mochin shakoves motzi, the mochin that the launderer takes out. Malabi natsamer, one who is whitening wool, motzi mi natsamer davar muatai lishtifa. He will take out of the wool something small through his washing it. Right, he'll get small pieces of wood. Hare eli shalosh, ain't a baal bias makbid. The owner is not makbid on that, not particular about it. Vim hikbid lo havi kepedin. Even if he is, we don't consider that a kepedin. You're not allowed to be makbid on this, such a small thing. We don't take it into account if he says he is makbid. Vishasorik motzi, hasorik as a tzemra manaspo. That refers to someone who is combing raw, untreated wool. And manaspo is also, I believe, the finer amount of combing that happens also. Right? Masha motzi havidav rechashiv regina lahakvid. What is taken out of that is considered an important amount, a chashiv amount, and one is expected, it was normal to be makbid on that amount. So that you have to give back. Hakovis notes the shlosha chutim. The kovet takes three threads. Derech big day tzemer, the way of wool of woolen clothing. Laniach b'sof arigas and gimel chutim min acher. In the end of the weaving, you put in there three threads of a different species. But kovis notes in a mashu abegedom yapio. The kovet, the launderer, takes them, and he equals out the beg and makes it smooth and makes it look nice. Yafe, makes it look nice. Vim chutim shcharin heim. The Rav doesn't explain the next part. If it's more than three threads, you see those weren't the parts that that were put there specifically, and I guess he took extra ones, right? And if black threads are woven into a white beged, he's allowed to take everything. He's fixing up, right? The black threads and a white beged make it look really awful. A tailor that leaves over from the thread enough to make a stitch. Rav learns that that is the length, if they would fill up the length of the needle itself. A piece of fabric that's 3x3, Garcina, that is our Girsa here. Apparently Rav knew that there were other Girsos. That is our Girsa. You have a tailor that already finished. He equaled out his stitch. I mean, he's already done. The Kotsemi man a matlis katana, right? He cuts out of it. He has available left over a small piece of fabric, shalosh etzbos to shalosh etzbos, 3 fingers by 3 fingers. Chay la'achsi lebal habeged. He has to give it back to the person that owns the beged. Ma'atzad. This is now going in the carpenter case. Kli shemachlik bo anagar es pnei aluach. The carpenter uses that to smoothen out the edge of a cabinet, their piece of wooden furniture. Safayin, I believe that's how it's pronounced. Safayin shuhumotzi dakin hein. The small pieces of wood that he pulls out are very thin. That he gets to keep. But if he used a kashil, which is a kardom, a spade, a shovel, a knife, umapil safayin gasim, that takes out larger pieces of wood. It's a baal bayis, so in that case he wasn't allowed to keep. Now, if he was working, it's a baal bayis, kischirium, like an hourly paid wage worker, alf the nesorius, even the nesorius goes to the baal bayis, dak, extremely small pieces, hayotze mitachas hamagadech, that comes out of mikadech, either a chisel, or some sort of nowadays could be like a screwdriver. It simply means like you peck away at the wood. Shehem dakin mil, they're very thin. Shabal bayis, they go to the baal bayis. They're at his home, and the mele is considered belonging to him. Thank you for listening. Mr. Hashem, next time we'll start Bava Mitzvah.